Welcome in, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show here. Final hour of the show on a thirsty Thursday. That means it is I, Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, and JC Sherbert in with you to get you through the rest of your, well, basically through the rest of your lunch hour. How about that? To eat at noon, you'll all get out of here at one. Some of us will be very hungry, and others us.
After all, the mariachi band makes me want tacos.
I do. In between that and the wing talk, and now, because it's like, it's been a while since I've had wings, because we did not get them for the weekend last weekend. So yeah, I'm kind of craving that, but maybe another day, because I have pork chops to cook tonight. That's what we're having for dinner tonight.
Are you grilling them, Philip? Mm. How are you preparing the pork?
I'm frying them.
Ooh, delicious. Even more. Are they bone-in or filet?
No. Actually, what I did was they had a really good sale on pork loin roast. So ooh. I take the less fatty half of it and cut those into pork chops, and then I use the other half as a pork roast that we will eat at another time later. It's actually a really good way to save money, and it's a very easy cut to do.
I am
stretching the family dollar.
No, I've pork roast. I don't like to use our oven at our house because actually I've never used it because my wife, it's a gas oven and it's a double oven, and it like so it's like, you know, the buttons are all like weird. They may as well be in a foreign language. I don't know what coats on what, right? And then she's got like a pan in one of them. I don't want to overeat that pan. I'm over the oven. However, before I was here, you know, I made some pork tenderloin in the oven, man. Like nice little marinade and stuff. And my dog, who's about 18 pounds, when I first got him, I didn't know any better. I didn't think he'd eat it all. I was like, surely they get full
and stop eating.
I had half of it left. It was just me. I was single. I was like, I made too much. I don't want to save it. So I put it down on the floor. So here you go, Red. Have some pork tenderloin. So it's gone in like 15 minutes. And a little bit later, I saw it again. he couldn't handle it. But I made some grilled pork chops the other day, really good. But anyway, this is not inside the food, the show. This is inside the Gamecocks, the show. And we like to play around and have a good time. I want to remind everybody that is not a member of the Big Spur Gamecock Central that we still have a special going on. You get a $1 5-day week free trial or something, and then half off your annual membership, so you can still save money. It's not as good as the other deal, 75% off, but you still get half off if you choose to stick with us. If not, it just costs you a dollar. You can be a seasonal member, a 1-week member, and all that good stuff. And all that. Thanks to everybody also who participated in the Fab Five Challenge last week. If you want to get in on it, all you got to do is download the free Chief Sports app if you don't already have it, and then enter entree. Put your email address in, and then you're in, and you download the app for us. We love everybody that played last week, even though I'm a dismal failure for my picks. And as I tell everybody, don't listen to me when I'm
making a lot picks. Worse. Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes I'll pick them myself, and I'll pick something different. I'll change my mind on game day. I'm not listen to Raphael. Go to Polymarket. Don't listen to me. I don't want to be responsible for it.
I do better against the spread. Like, some people are like, oh, I can't do against the spread. I was like, I feel like I get more grace there. Like, picking winners, I am not very good at it all.
Yeah, the money line, stay away
from. Yeah, I'm in a confidence league too with some old friends. True. Like, and that just, I'm always like last, or you know, next to last in that. And yeah, fortunately there's no money in it.
So anyway, LSU in that situation is kind of calmed down. I don't think they're going to kick him out of the league now. Nah. But I do think they may vote to kick him out of the league, and I do think that there will be some punishment coming down. And here's why. This is the best way I can explain this, Phil. Okay, so it's not that that Daquan Wright or whoever were like, okay, well we're going to get cut by these teams, and we're just going to sue to get it. And LSU's like, oh, okay, you've sued, you got an injunction. Okay, we can take you. You know, we're going to take you. It's that they actively pursued these guys off of NFL rosters.
Yeah.
Right. And so it enticed them to come back. And that's been reported. And then encouraged them to sue the NCAA. That's bad enough. Then they raise the stakes because these crackpot lawyer clowns that they have. I mean, these lawyers are awful. They could only win in front of the clown judge in Louisiana.
Right. Right.
And a head football coach and basketball coach, for that matter, would only be allowed to do this at a school with a clown AD and a clown president and a clown governor in the governor's office. Quite I mean, as far as Landry's approach to LSU athletics is concerned. So, you know, clowns are people too. That's what we preach around here. But that's the only way this happens, like in college sports. You think of some of the most – LSU is not a historically rogue program. They've had some issues the last 10 years. But you go back in time, I mean, you don't – you know, basketball, LSU, their strategy was kind of like, okay, let's hire a cheater. He cheats. They may go to a Final Four. And he gets to her. He has unprecedented success. He gets caught. You know, so they don't snoop around about football, which if they snooped around in those days in any SEC school, you're going to turn over enough rocks and find some stuff. They sacrifice him. They suck for about 5 years because they hire some patsy, right? Oh, we're just going to suck for a little. We're going to suck for a little while at men's basketball. And then eventually they'll find another cheater and he gets up and then the controversy comes out, right? But in football, you know, did Nick Saban ever? I mean, Nick Saban kind of built that thing. He never got you know, all the bad coaches there, Curly Hallman, Mike. I mean, there was not a lot there,
right?
That was out of the ordinary. And baseball's been elite for a long time, and you never heard anything about LSU baseball, you know, being rogue. So it's a shame that when you have some of the more. We live in the gray area all the time, schools out there going, we can't do this. You know, this is just a bridge too far. You should probably back off. So it's not that they did that. It's not that they were trying to put these guys on the team. It's that they went against the whole conference in doing it. And when they really crossed the line is when the lawyer deposed Greg Sankey and they added the SEC to the lawsuit. Because that's not suing a flawed national organization. That's suing a conference that has your back in a lot of things. That's been your home for 100 years. Right. That is your peer schools and the whole motivation to it. Like what you heard out of LSU was, well, everybody else is doing it. No, they're not.
No,
Peter, they're not. No, I mean, and the level-headed members of the LSU media contingent, some were trying to kind of, well, I don't know that this is good for the game, but here's why, and this is why it's not fair. And then the lunatics were all like, you can't do this. It's not fair. You have this in Alabama basketball, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Alabama, when the SEC said don't play him and Greg Sankey put in an affidavit saying he shouldn't be eligible, that was the end of that.
Yeah, right. Right?
That was the end of that. And that's precedent too, right? What Alabama basketball did was not right. You know, you can't, but LSU just flaunts it. You have a basketball coach there now who's on his second go around.
Yeah.
Who I believe has Rick Stansberry and Johnny Jones on his staff. Those guys are notorious cheaters. just the middle finger at everybody. I only have 4 players, but we're going to litigate our way to a roster. Nobody else is doing that. Right. And so it's not that. And then you have the comments from Lane Kiffin. You have the comments about the cold gumbo from the stupid lawyer. And then you have and all that is, you know, radical behavior. And they're right. There is no institutional control. I mean, the buck seems to stop with the governor. Maybe the Raising Cane's Chicken guy or one of their prominent boosters is pulling the strings. But it's very misguided. And if you're the SEC and you're the other 15 schools, and look, man, South Carolina does not have the panache or the clout out there in college athletics to really, I mean, they were going to go along to kicking them out, certainly. But you're talking about Alabama, Texas, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Florida, Georgia. I just rattled off how many schools. You know, we're not talking Auburn. You're not talking about Mississippi State and Vanderbilt going, hey, this isn't right. Shut
yeah.
up.
Yeah, that's right.
Shut up and give Shut me up. My pudding. Give me that pudding.
They get stuffed you in know, a locker.
Kentucky is a big – I mean, you're talking about something – I mean, the schools will be just fine without you saying no. And I think there's going to be some punishment.
Yeah, I mean, there needs to be some recourse
here. I think really? Lane Kiffin's going to get suspended. Now, I don't – because everybody's reporting that it's settled down, I think just for the good of the league and to just move on, it's going to be like a stern warning. I don't think they're going to make him fire Lane Kiffin.
No.
I do think he could be suspended. I think it would be for the best from a public safety standpoint. ESPN may get mad or ABC may get mad to suspend him for the Ole Miss game. I just take him out of the equation. I mean, yeah. Hey, look, obviously Lane Kiffin's very gifted at putting together a team in this era. What he's also proven is they don't really need him to win because Ole Miss won last year after he left.
Just keep the system going. You know, the talent's already there.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. So. We'll see what happens, but I guess they're still taking the vote today unless they've canceled it recently. I don't know. I was writing an article. But
yeah, I haven't seen any update as to whether they're canceling it, but no. You know, Ross Dellinger, look like booting them out is off the table
today. Yeah, Ross Dellinger and Pete Nakos will be all over it. If you're on three and take advantage of that membership thing, you could read everything from Portal Pete Nakos.
Portal Pete.
The McKellar Enterprises chat box is always rocking and rolling. TD says Dave Portnoy would be livid if they bench Underwood. Probably, but you know what Dave is, though? He's a Michigan fan.
Right.
Now, he's going to be out money, but I don't think money necessarily guides his opinions on things. Because he says some things that have, drumroll, cost him money. And that's what I like about him. Some people don't care for him too much. Now, the whole Barstool apparatus, there's some I like, some I don't. Just like
everything. That's true.
Mm-hmm. But Dave Portnoy, I mean, he's kind of one of the – he's just honest. You know, you don't agree with him all the time, but he says what he thinks. But, yeah, I'd be a little ticked, too, if they bench Underwood and I spent all that money. But, you know, like I said, things are never as good as it seems, never as bad as it seems. People think because Oklahoma beat the tar out of the UTEP Miners that, oh, my God, Boomer Sooner, they're back. They went to the playoff last year with no offense. Now they're going to have an offense. They're going to be great. Blah, 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 blah. John Mateer, John Mateer, John Mateer. And John Mateer may go to the Big House and light them up, and they'll put him right back on the Heisman pedestal. Lenora Sellers can throw for 700 yards and have a quarterback rating of 1 million.
Saturday. 1 million.
And this guy that ranks quarterbacks that we've never heard of, not one of the principals at CBS, but one of these dudes, I don't even want to say his name. He's so horrible at it. He'd still have Sellers in the 30s.
Right.
And some very terrible quarterbacks ranked ahead of him.
Right.
I mean, he had Byron Brown up there. And then I'm like, look, bad respect. Like Byron Brown from Auburn's a good player. But if you go back and look at his stats from South Florida, yeah. Impressive, 3,100 passing, 1,000 rushing. But then go look at his stats when they played the Gators, who they did beat.
They did beat them, that's right.
Thanks for doing good defense. And Miami, which were the only two good teams they played last year. They leave a lot to be desired, Philip. A lot. And his whole supporting cast is from South Florida. So you're like, hey, how about this? Speaking of media hype, how about Oklahoma State? All I heard all summer, all off season, Oklahoma State's coming back. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Eric Morris brought 18 players from North Texas. All right. Well,
okay.
Look, I'm all for a handful of players from the lower levels being good, and I'll argue that to my grave.
Oh, yeah.
But I want everybody to know. And even if you have a collection of them from different places and you put the puzzle together the right way, Phil, it can work. You can't dismiss it. But eight, and I understand Indiana and all those kids from James Madison, but those kids are cut a little different than what North Texas recruits, okay? And that may – the Indiana winning may not be lightning in a bottle, dude, but taking that many from a an emerging fledgling FBS right. program like James Madison and building a core. I mean, that was just a special group. It happens. It doesn't apply necessarily to North Texas. So Oklahoma State offensive genius Eric Morris and the quarterback who everybody ranked ahead of Lenoris.
And true. That's
and,
right.
And a lot of other guys, too. Mr. Meyer, God, he's so good. Phil, my God. So they waltz into Tulsa. And I, so you wake me up, maybe I'm in a food coma or whatever. You know, maybe I've eaten too many of the 5-point social wings, right? So I'm sleeping. And you wake me up in a few hours. Hey, Tulsa beat Oklahoma State. Immediately I'm thinking it had to be like one of those Big 12 style 51-50.
Crazy points, right? No, yep.
No. Tulsa beat them 24-10. Like it was the Minnesota Iowa game.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like
Iowa State.
Did nobody watch? I mean, it's like, oh, the pretty things. Look at these pretty things. North Texas is really good. They're pretty. How does that apply to if it ain't gonna apply to Tulsa in the American, it ain't applying in the Big 12 either. What's Texas Tech's defense gonna do to that?
Oh, yeah. Well,
what a fiasco. And Oklahoma State has to play Oregon this weekend at home.
Whew.
They may score less than zero.
Right. That's right.
Is that possible?
Is that negative two to 38.
TD says, talks about Bama. Michael actually comments, Bama, I think Bama's pretty good. They looked pretty good this weekend, I thought.
It looked a little better than I had kind of figured. Yeah,
Russell looked good.
Yeah. It's still like I'm not sold. Now, I do think they're obviously going to get tested a little better up in the Bluegrass State this weekend, but I still won't be ready to crown them as back if they do roll out of there with, like, you know, even a 10 to 17 point win.
Something interesting too. They're often TD mentions in the next comment they have question marks on the O line, and I do think they do.
Yeah,
I mean there were some plays like last week where if that were Ty Simpson sitting back there, he'd have been sacked.
Mm-hmm.
But Russell's got some elite escapability. But Michael Carroll, who I believe according to what I read today, graded out. They're starting right guard or left guard, graded out better than anybody in the country per PFF. He's the one guy you looked at on their offensive line, Phil, and we're like, oh, Michael Carroll's good.
Yeah, that guy, yeah.
He's right. Doubtful for the game.
No.
So he may not play.
That's not good.
And completely ruled him out. So I'm wondering how you're going to run the ball. Now, that said, when we had Dave Bartu on here, and the numbers backed this up, Jay Bateman, their D coordinator, is getting his first shot at actually coordinating a defense since North Carolina. Now, he wasn't the one that gave up 70 points to James Madison. The non-Signetti James Madison, by the way.
Right.
But they weren't that good, you know, there. He got a lot of run because he's good at Army. But Army held the ball for 43 minutes. So. But it's kind of a weird three-man front. So I don't know. Bama may not have trouble moving it, you know, especially if Russell can get out there and make plays. But if you're looking for Bama to line up and run the ball, that's Michael Carroll's an important part of it. But we'll see. I think the 10-point thing is good. I don't know how good Kentucky is. I don't know how good anything. I don't know how good Carolina really is.
No, I mean, yeah, everybody's still got question marks. I don't think we're ready to crown anybody. I mean, not even LSU after that. All eyes on me beatdown that they put down on, you know, I mean,
yeah,
this is what it is, you know,
just saying that because it's Clemson, but man, Clemson, you go back and look they've got some fixing to do in them hills. And I hope, you don't want your neighbor's house to burn down. you just want everybody to be safe and get out.
Yeah. That's safe. Right. Not if it's too close to yours, you know, maybe if you're upwind.
Lance is ready to see Mississippi State Saturday and see what they got. Yeah, it's 3:30 kickoff CBS game of the week. Instead of the War Eagle, you know, they used to have on the SEC, it's the Gopher.
It's a Gopher.
You ever seen that Gopher? Now, I love this. I don't know if they still do it or not, but they have this gopher. When people are kicking field goals, the Jumbotron goes to this gopher that's giving a sly look, and he turns his head real quick. It's like, dun, dun, dun. Ah. That would mess with me quite a bit.
It really would.
And the gopher from Minnesota.
Yeah. Oh, the Golden Gophers. Mm.
Frederick says Sark is overrated. You know, Sark, as a head coach, I don't think he's done anything. No, he's had two of the best jobs in America.
He's in Southern
and a good one in Washington, you know. I mean, as an offensive coordinator, 2020-ish, there weren't many better. I don't know, has that continued or not?
He's Lane Kiffin without a personality. What have you won?
Yeah. What have you won?
What have you won?
Bruin says, wait, Shula's at Minnesota. Give me Mississippi State by 20. I don't care what Shula's role is. Mike, you know what Mike Shula is good at? Coaching quarterbacks. Not scheming them up in an offense, I think. And if you look at his career, that's kind of what he's known for. Yes, I know he had the 1 year with the Panthers in the Super Bowl, but if you look at 2024 and kind of how he coached Lenore, that's the reason he got the job. He did a good job. He's just the quarterback whisperer over there. Yeah. Some guys are just – they're great at coaching a position, but they're just not very good at handling the – giving them, you know, they're good at fixing the tires, but and they can't drive the car.
Well, his style of play fits better with a Big Ten offensive line than it does with.
Yeah, and they don't even like they run Phil sort of more of a college offense anyway. They've always have. It's like some options for ground. It's ground based because that's their recruiting base. But we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Lance says there's a deep freezer playing D tackle. Yeah, that Noah Clark, the deep freezer. I love
deep
that.
Freezer.
Russell likes Gatorade and vodka, or Gatorade vodka. The company he works for distributes them. It's not really Gatorade, but similar. Oh, that's oh, what
yeah,
it is.
That's that. That's whatever what
that drink.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, Michael tells JB to enjoy his avocado and mentions food again. I don't know who makes chili in the hottest part of the year, but it was brought to work and it's delicious. Craig just had gumbo, by the way.
Oh, gumbo is delicious.
And X-Man makes a killer pork loin. But Michael points out with the pork loin back to food again. It dries up quick if you leave it in too long.
Hey, you got to make sure it's, you know, you can't. You got to watch it.
Dimitri, JC and Mad Dog. I think Mississippi State is going to be a dogfight on Saturday. That point spread's 1.5. Interesting game to measure how good Mississippi State will be. I think so. You know, and I think too, Dimitri, I think I like Mississippi State's offensive personnel, and I like their offense. And I think that they've been competitive because of that offense. But I also think this. There's questions about their here's where I think the questions come in about Mississippi State. Offensive line and defense in general. Zach Arnett is a good defensive coach, obviously, but you know they don't have the personnel. And they're real portal heavy. Some of the guys at the previous school they played were not all that good, but I do like their offense and their quarterback. And if you're not on your game defensively in your Carolina, it can be a shootout for sure.
Yeah, I expect that to be one of the better games played for sure. I mean, I just think it's going to be good, but. Minnesota is not. What? Who'd they play? ULM?
Hell said, you know what would be great? Not ever talking about this LSU NFL player saga again. Please just stop. Yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it if it happens.
Well, of course, but yeah, it would be nice not to. I agree.
I would agree with you that, I mean, of all the things, you know. Frederick says when it comes to big games, he overthinks things. Are we talking about Sark or Shula? I don't know. TD says, how much stock are you putting in this State-Minnesota game? If Minnesota wins, is State crap or somewhere in between? I don't think so. I think Minnesota's a good team. It's on the road. It's up there. I don't think that means, you know, as far as Carolina's concerned, what would be better for for the, you know, just to make sure you're locked in and motivated. I don't know. Mississippi State goes up there and wins by 21. And Bill Gunner had a column today on the site that was good about anxiety, like the anxiety, the pregame anxiety is missing these first 2 weeks. That's going to up the ante a little bit. You're going to tailgate a little harder. You can be a little more nervous, you know, that kind of thing. Not that all that affects how the team, I mean, it affects the crowd, obviously affects how the team plays, but just the setup and the mindset, the feel, I don't know. Whereas if Minnesota beats them, you know, Minnesota's not exactly a national power. Everybody's going to be like, everybody probably missed my memo that Minnesota was supposed to be pretty good. Right. And so, oh, they lost to Minnesota. We're rolling by 30.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, we're good.
You know, so we'll see sort of what happens. Hell Rooster says Mississippi State's offensive line and defensive line, how they look. Pay attention to the Minnesota O-line and if they can get a push on the Mississippi State D-line. That's going to be interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how great. I'll have to look at Minnesota's D-line to kind of give you an idea. I know this. I don't think Minnesota's a particularly fast defense, and the quarterback is big and fast, and the receivers are big and fast. So it's going to be a challenge. Hell mentions out the outcome's irrelevant unless it's one extreme or the other. Probably so.
Yeah, I think a blowout would say more than a close game for sure.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the breakage here.
Yeah. Phillip.
And then let's come back. Let's talk a little Towson State. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Go to GamecockTraditions.com or go to their Nike store. There's some Nike hats on social media, man, that people have been really fired up about that they have at Gamecock Traditions. We love Gamecock Traditions here. Home of the beat stickers, which I used to think were cursed till about 10 years ago, and they're kind of part of my nostalgia now.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Like that old Slaughter album, Stick It To You. Speaking of clowns, did you realize that there's like a circus? Isn't that a circus album cover? We don't do album covers anymore, I guess.
No. Not like they used to be. They used to be like curated and even commissioned by like fancy artists and stuff. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Not anymore. It's just upload your art.
It's a selfie and a logo now.
AI Canva.
Yeah.
Body by Canva. Pretty soon you're gonna be able to do that. I need a new body. I get on Canva. Alright. We will be back. Inside the Gamecocks, the show returns after this.
Welcome back, everybody. Inside the Gamecocks, the show rolls on here. But listen, we are proud partners, obviously, of the South Carolina Education Lottery. Since 2002, over $9.4 billion in lottery proceeds has been appropriated to benefit educational causes in South Carolina, like scholarships, school buses, and technology initiatives. Playing is fun and a win for education.
Yes. We just love the lottery.
That's right. Thanks, lottery. We appreciate you, lottery.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, lottery.
Thank you.
It's like the Daughtry cover band. This is lottery. This is a song called Home. Hell Rooster says, I think Arnett is the most overrated DC in college football after Jay Bateman.
Yeah.
He did a really good job at Mississippi State when Leach was there. You know, and he went to Ole Miss and was an analyst at Ole Miss for a little bit. But I don't know. I think before he was at Mississippi State, he's at San Diego State. Got out there, coached for, I think, Rocky Long. I don't know. We'll find out about him this year.
Yeah.
You know, because we'll find out. TD says he spent too much money at Gamecock Traditions the last 2 weeks. Yeah.
That's right. Well, hey, hop on into the Fab Five, man.
You got some company. Nicky Minwore missed the game for the Seahawks last night. I didn't want to talk about this unless one of you guys brought it up, because why are you starting the NFL football season on a Wednesday?
It's so stupid.
It sucks like, so much. I mean, I'm sorry. That's another one of those things that the deciders around our society these days like to do. They're just not happy with giving the people what they want and making money off of it, right?
Right, right.
We're giving them what they want, and we're making money off of it. It's like, screw the people. How can we make more money off this?
Let's make more money.
I don't understand why some of these people, I mean, they're allegedly Ivy League educated and all that, which I think is the most greatest crock of crap in the world now. You know, maybe that's why they have no common sense. Why are you thinking that your product is good without the people that make it good? Are we that stupid? I mean, I know there's people out there that are like, you know, they'll write something or have a blog or create an app, and it's, you know, and they think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. It may have some value. And then they want $1 billion for it because they think it's that valuable. And they've been taught, like, you got to get what you're – they listened to that Rocky speech, and all they heard was, go get what you're worth, not the rest.
Well, yeah, that's right. Go get what you're worth.
And they're convinced that that's – you know, I know there are people out there that do that, and they have that kind of opinion about their products. But you have to have – I mean, your customers and your audience, they're the most important part, because without that, you don't have any. Yeah. The other part of that's stocks. I think they also feel now the NFL's not publicly traded, so I have no idea.
I think
it's a slap in the face to the fans of those teams. I think it's a slap in the face to the local fans that want to go to the game, the season ticket holders. I mean, you're already moving games to London. To why? To make more money? Yeah.
I mean, playing a game in Melbourne, Australia.
You see in other companies too, man. Southwest Airlines, because some ass monkey that wanted to investor guy, right? Yeah. What's it called? What's the name of it? Activist investor, right? He's like, I don't want you for bags to fly free anymore.
Yeah, no.
You need to be able to make them pay for their seats. It's just like every other airline. I'm like, why in the world would I fly Southwest Airlines?
Right. Without, yeah. Yeah.
You've built this loyal following.
I'll suffer general admission for a free bag, but take that away.
That's what it was. I was a loyal Southwest customer for years, but yeah, some, you know, ass clown, ass monkey, whatever you want to call it.
Private equity. That's it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and that's ridiculous. And so it's just to make the stock go up a couple
of points. Right. Yeah. So
that's what some of these decisions to get it back to sports, to get the train back on the tracks. That's what some of these decisions that spit all over loyal fans in college and pro are based. It's like that.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to make you suffer. The reason we have a valuable product, right? Because it's not really about you. It's about this network and the clowns up there that you know, the Real Housewives. We want them to give us more money.
Yeah.
And you're like, and then we're going to charge you more money as our product slowly declines.
I don't know.
You know, I don't know. At some point, fans and customers have to be important again.
Yeah, right. Well, is it six straight days of football with them? Well, no, they're not playing on Saturday, though. That's the thing. Is like,
It's like
you don't need
Wednesday.
It.
I mean, you know, them starting on Thursday, you can halfway. Okay, Thursday, you got the big Thursday opener, and everybody gets ready for Sunday and Monday, right? Why Wednesday?
It's just an easy sacrifice, too, for NBC, who obviously doesn't have anything that would come near to getting the number of eyes as an NFL game would in the middle of the week. Maybe you should invest in better writers and creative staff. That way you'd actually have something strong enough on a Wednesday night.
They don't. Like, they you know, feed
maybe
not. Slop.
Maybe we shouldn't do the Wednesday night opener.
I mean, I'm like, you know, we got their money. They'll tune in and do NFL football. You know, and I'm like, dude, what the You know, and I just see too much stuff like that, man.
Yeah. I had a fantasy. And then everybody interest. I didn't even watch the whole first half. I was like, you know what? I'm going to bed.
And I think the entertainment in general, sports, and they have to be aware at some of this crap that's going on in our country with inflation and stuff like that, which some of it's self-inflicted by both parties, to be honest with you. Entertainment is a release. Football, watching Carolina football is a release. Watching NFL football is a release. That's why those brands are still profitable even when the economy goes down. People still love it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, just because everything else is expensive doesn't mean you need to be raising prices at this point on it, because that's just another slap in the face. You know, and people are going to get turned off by it. Disney, yeah. You know, Disney's always been expensive. Disney's just jacking it up right now, though. I you know, we got to make up for everybody cutting cable cords.
That's right. And, of course, you know? Tonight's game, live from Melbourne Cricket Grounds, is airing on Netflix.
Yeah. Money, 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 money.
Yeah, you get the 49ers and Rams on Netflix. Yeah.
We're going to make you live either fly tomorrow to Australia or or which is a brutal flight.
Who's calling that game?
I don't remember who works for Netflix now, but I mean, guys and gals, I mean, just wanted to bring that up. I mean, that's just, I mean, you look around and it's happening, and I'm a free market guy and not for government anything. And the government's just as bad. You ever go read into something called an NGO? You hear that term a lot, the non-governmental organization. Sure. These are genius Ponzi schemes. What they do, they get nonprofit status, right? Nonprofit status. And all everybody in Washington, you know, you want to know why the per capita income's gone up in Washington like it has, Phil? More than any other metropolitan area from 1991 till now? It's because of these beauties, right? So here's what happens. People get elected and go work in government for a while. And then they leave government. Even if they're not elected, they work in government for a while. You don't make that much money salary-wise. But then you go and you work for one of these NGOs and you make bank.
Right.
These nonprofits. They're not even jobs.
Right. That's the whole thing. Is like the whole grift is you're voting to fund them because they're lobbying you to do so. And on the back end telling you, we're going to have a cherry position for you here after you're out of office.
Guess what funds those? I was talking to one of our friends works in politics the other day. And she was saying that it's like the somebody that they knew was trying to start a business because the tax money that's funding these things is not as much as it used to be. So there aren't as many jobs. Like, what purpose do they serve? They're not even lobbyists. So your tax money is going to fund this whole apparatus of crap for these people that are, you know, that have jobs, you know, and it's stuff like and they have really vague names too, because I don't think they can explain what the hell they do.
Right.
I'm like, look, the College Sports Commission and the College Football Playoff Committee that gets funded by everybody else, you know, they're kind of worthless in my opinion. I mean, you know, and I think it's a waste, especially the playoff people. But at least they have an active purpose. You know, the government can't do anything about Southwest Airlines or the NFL or anything either, because they're just as guilty. I mean, so I don't know. I'm about old man yell at cloud today. and how it does relate to sports, ladies and gentlemen, is, you know, University of South Carolina is not a egregious. I mean, people go crazy in South Carolina whenever prices go up just a little bit or something. And I get it. It's cheap. The Gamecocks actually try to provide value, you know, around there, and then they've got to build a lot and stuff. And I do think, as Jamie pointed out yesterday, fix the south end zone entrance. I mean, that's common sense. And I think they will, unlike some other folks that run other, they're just like, live with it. Yeah. Cause we're making money.
Money.
So, you know, but eventually, you know, you never know. You don't get a good AD in there or a good president in there. Carolina's had some in the distant past that weren't worth two nickels. And all of a sudden they had this idea, like the Texas AD that got fired before Del Conte came in there. He wanted to expand the Longhorn brand in China. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I mean, you know, China. Okay, great. I understand it's a huge market and, you know, you're probably, and things were, relationships were better with China then.
There's over a billion people over there.
But you're in a state. This guy wasn't even from Texas. He didn't talk, he's some Wormser type. But you're in a state that is, you know, how many, what's the percentage of the population that speaks Spanish? Wouldn't it make sense to go south of the border or South America? Somebody in the chat box caught, we said NC State and Virginia and Brazil was the dumbest damn thing I'd ever heard of. Yeah, but if Texas went down there, you know? I mean, you have a connection there. China. So he got fired. Dude, it wasn't just that, man. He spent money on a study to fly to China and study how he can Longhorn Athletics. What if the what country would the Gamecocks be popular in? I don't know. Hmm. Oh, Quantrell says, yeah, Blake's wife's mad because the NFL moved a game to Wednesday because she gets Tuesday and Wednesday nights for TV. Now they took Wednesday too.
I hope this is just a one off, though, right? They're not playing on Wednesday every week, are they? No.
Please don't.
No.
Quantrell says the NFL's moved to 18 games, 6 days a week, and 16 games in Europe. Very soon.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me.
Gamecock Depression says, in my opinion, I wish there was football every day. Me too. And that, and you know, those of us that are out here that aren't fans of people like Seahawks and Patriots, we feel the same way. And that's what's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But if every team gets knocked like that, then fans are going to go away, and then collectively nobody's going to care. Bruin says, bring back NFL Europe for guys who didn't make it. I like the Scottish Claymores. I need some Scottish Claymores gear. Remember I got the He Hate Me jersey?
He Hate Me. I
love He Hate Me. Oh. So, Ghost Flame says, good for him, but a little hot for me to go. Oh, busting a 10-point deer. Okay.
Yeah.
So they're, I think they're talking about hunting. So anyway, hunting. Towson State, by the way. they're off on a tangent. Towson, not Towson State. Talk about her. I like their coach. I listened to his press conference today. I do think South Carolina, from a standpoint of pass rush, if any of you are worried about the pass rush because only one sack against Kent, 2 points. Clayton White mentioned 1.9 seconds average time to release for Kent. That they were intentionally trying to get it out quick.
Yeah,
and you're not going to get that many sacks, but these guys, Beamer said it. You watch them. You hear Clayton White say it. They've got a good quarterback who can make the throws. He's good at processing information and reading defenses. And they also like to sit in the pocket and throw it. All right. So to me, if anyone was worried about the one sack, and there are people out there just look at the box score and like, one sack,
pass just one,
terrible. Yeah. You know? And that doesn't always tell the whole tale. But this weekend, provided Towson plays the game like they have, and this coach seems like a guy that's like looking for wins within the game, like, because he's talking about the Navy blood. He's like, yeah, but here, you know, because he was all fired up that they got beat by 27 points at Navy. Is that an in-state rival?
Yeah, it is.
But he's all fired up. He's like, well, gosh, man, we gave up 6 sacks to Maine and we only gave up 3 to Navy. That's a win. And he's all positive about it. So I think it's realistic. So I don't see him come. My point is, I don't see him coming in and trying to throw a bunch at Carolina.
No, I imagine we're going to see a lot of, you know, like bootlegs. They're going to get this call not, to move.
Not get out of their offense. They're not going to get out of their offense.
No, but yeah, it's you're not going to let him just sit back there and, you know, rack up sacks for defensive tackles because you're getting outmanned on the interior.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, and I think that I think they're going to, I think that fits into Carolina's hands now. So if you look at the stats Sunday morning, and maybe the sacks are a little light and the quarterback had time, I mean, then I think maybe you can go, oh, they probably need to work on this part of it, you know, a little bit. Right now, though, it's not a huge concern. I think Towson, what they do on offense gives them an opportunity to get some guys in. TD mentions, although I know it won't happen, I selfishly would love to see Dylan and Peak play a series or two this week to get their feet wet before the start of SEC play. I just don't see it happening, man. They're not going to – it would be – it's risky, you know. And even if they could technically play, you're going to probably win the game without them. And so – and I don't want people to think that what I'm saying is they're both hanging on by a thread and one little, you know, because some people think that they're like, well, if they're 100%, they should be able to play, thinking that if they took a hit, that would knock them down to 98. And whereas if they're 70%, they're going to, you know what I'm saying? It's that you could have a whole different injury in a game like this. I mean, you want the risk for these two because they're coming off of injury to be zero. But you know what? Selfishly, if you could guarantee me there was no risk of them re-injuring or injuring themselves against Towson, JD, I'm with you. I'd love to see them. I'm sure the coaches would too. I'm sure they'd love to play.
Yeah.
But two guys, and you know, when you hadn't played in a while and you hadn't had the full off season and stuff, not that they're not in shape. Some people are like, Dylan Stewart's not ever going to be in game shape. And these are veteran guys. You know, they'll go play. It'll happen quick. But they didn't have the whole offseason. And, you know, sometimes if you're not prepared totally, that's when bad things can happen too.
Yeah.
And finally, Quantrell wants to see Duckworth the entire fourth quarter. Release the duck.
I'd like to see a bit more of Duckworth than just taking a knee, which, you know, if things play, I feel like we would have seen him in a series had the game not been cut short by 5 minutes.
Yeah, dude, there was a third of a quarter left.
Yeah, I know.
He probably feels cheated. I think what people have told me is Lucian Anderson's just a little bit ahead of him as far as operating the offense goes. Yeah. There are no more red shirts, though, so Duck could be the third teamer soon.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with you, Quantrell. I'd love to see him. You know what I love about this too? The offense, at least they did against Kent State, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
They kept running their offense.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you dial up the RPOs, there's going to be a certain number of passes, and you're gonna score some points. Because I've always agreed with Spurrier on that, you know.
Well, think about, I mean, you know, we saw Cutter Woods come in game last year, and I don't think he ever threw the ball. Same for Luke Doty, you know, when he was in there and at quarterback, they didn't let him throw the ball. It's like, well, we're just running the clock out now. You go on in there, son, and hand the ball off. And I'm like, yeah, damn. You know, better put together a good drive. You know, he completed his passes, this, that, and the other. I'm like, all right, not bad. Mm-hmm.
I like it, yeah. And, and so, you know, and it's how the defense lines up. So if Kent State was lining up to stop the run, they're going to throw it.
Yeah.
I mean, love that.
The right mentality is if you've put in 11 new players, right?
Yeah.
then your 11 players need to stop my 11 new players because we're still playing a game. And we're not just going to, you know, take a knee for an entire quarter because we're up, you know, by 50 points. That's how this works.
There's not a, you know, yeah, I mean, it's not fair to the backups you put in.
Right.
That work hard all week, or the walk-on that gets his brains beat in on the scout team sometimes.
I don't understand opposing coaches getting mad at, you know, other coaches running the score up. I'm like, dude, at least you could have emptied your bench too. You could have got some these guys some live game reps. Why are you complaining?
Yeah, I mean,
it works both ways.
And look, man, just take your starters out. I mean, you know, right. if the team now you put your starters back in. I mean, you know, sometimes there's coaches and they get all red assed about my third team wasn't playing well, so I just put the starters back in to stop them. And do something like preserve a shutout.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that made me cross. I don't know about that. But as far as the old Spurrier philosophy, it's like, shoot, we put our backups in, we're still going to run our offense because they deserve to score a touchdown too. You know, and that Kendall Briles mentioned that not in those words, but he's like, we were just running our offense. Mm-hmm. So anyway, all right. So this ends it for the show this week.
Yeah, preview.
We're going to preview this show tomorrow.
A quick week.
That's because we were off.
I know. It just it snuck up on me. I realized I had more work to do tonight than I normally do. I was like, oh.
Harrison chimes in. I agree. I kind of agree with Kent State's coach. The Gamecocks aren't 57 points better than them. A full fourth quarter, and they probably would have been 60 points better. Yeah, and I'll say this, too. Like, I like him. I think he's a good coach. But he was a little butthurt after the game.
Yeah.
Are they 57 points better than we are? That's probably why he wins, because he's got supreme confidence. And I'm like, well, you know, you didn't really get the ball to your playmakers a whole lot. You got these. And then he mentioned that the weather was the great equalizer. I was like, equalizer? Like, the game, that could have just been a down-to-the-wire game.
No. The great equalizer.
He said that in the press conference. The great equalizer.
Okay.
Like they were some team from Miami going and playing in the snow in December.
Yeah, that's
right. They were up at Soldier Field with wind chill of -29. Come on, man. It's hot.
That's why I don't like it. And I don't buy the whole weather narrative, right? In the cold, like, oh, they need to be careful. It's going to be cold. I'm like, you don't play in the cold all season either. Y'all kick off, it's 80 degrees up there too.
I mean,
but you know what it ain't? It ain't 97 with 100% humidity, brother, like it is down here.
And this is nothing new. I mean, with I bought better players last year. They got beat by average Florida State team 66-10.
Yeah,
so it ain't like they've been scaring the but you know what out of people in non-warm weather.
Yeah,
I mean, I think the Heat got to hit. Yeah, I think he's like one of these. It's like old northern boy out there on 501 that runs out of gas on the way to the beach, and he's all red in the face. He doesn't know where he's at. He thought he was going to go to tropical paradise, and he's at the fifth circle of hell. He's like, I just don't understand. I'm just, oh, my God, you got to do what is this bug? Marge. Ah. Cancel my tea time.
That's right.
Yeah. Got to fix
traffic
this.
Traffic hasn't moved in 30 minutes.
30 minutes. Who are these people? Are they... Is it 57 miles from here? I don't know. It's a good question. This weather's the great equalizer. All right, we're out of here, folks. Have a great weekend. Of course, we'll talk to you tomorrow on the preview show. Yeah, so another college football weekend. This schedule's a little better this weekend, so it'll be good. But enjoyed chatting at you all today. I'll at you soon.